Support for WYPR comes from University of Maryland Medical System, where world-class doctors are pioneering immunotherapy that's helping to stop cancer in its tracks. And with screenings and advanced treatments across the state, it's cancer care made for Marylanders. Learn more at umms.org/cancer.
I'm WYPR News Director Matt Bush. You're listening to Midday. I'm filling in for Tom Hall on this Friday. If you just joined us, we're on the local campaign trail today as county races for county executive take shape. Candidates have until February 24th to declare, so it's a month and 15 days, a month and a half. But as we just heard, races in Howard and Baltimore County, they're already getting full. Like residents in those counties, in Anne Arundel County, voters will be picking a new county executive this year as well. My next guest has been following the latest there. Jacob Baumgart is the Capital Gazette editor at the Capital Gazette. He joined there recently after covering Anne Arundel County previously for the online news site Patch. He joins me here in Studio A. Jacob, welcome to Midday.
Thank you so much for having me here today.
Stuart Pittman is in his second term as county executive. He's also now the chair of the Maryland Democratic Party. He's term limited, so he cannot run for election again. What do you think would he say his biggest accomplishments have been in his 8 years in office?
His pride and joy is that the Plan 2040 document, that is his grand vision for what the county is going to look like through 2040. So that's a lot of land use planning, environmental preservation, and addressing traffic corridors and creating affordable housing in areas close to transit. So that's near train stations and bus lines. That's one of the things he's most proud of.
What are some of the other things that he's done, you think, in the 8 years? And then what would be some of the issues he's leaving for whomever succeeds him in office that will have to be taken up by the next county executive?
Another thing that he is pretty proud of is the public campaign financing, which I'm sure we're going to talk about in a little bit, that came to be during his time as county executive. He is also starting projects, as I mentioned, with the transit-oriented development near train stations, particularly at the Odenton Mark train station. The county is working on plans to create more shops and apartments there. That is something that is not going to be done in his term and will likely be continued in the second term.
So there are two Anne Arundel County Council members running to replace him. Who are they, and what sort of platforms are they talking about as they get ready for this race?
So those are Allison Pickard, a Democrat for County Council in District 2, and Pete Smith, a Democrat for the County Council District 1. They both carry a lot of name recognition in their districts. Pickard is a former school board member, so she's been around the block, and Pete Smith is a Marine, so that carries a lot of weight for his voters as well.
You can join the conversation here. Give us a call at 410-662-8780. That's 410-662-8780. We're talking to Jacob Baumgart, the Capital Gazette editor for the Capital Gazette. He's talking about the Anne Arundel County Council race, or Anne Arundel County executive race that's coming up this year. There's another Democrat running who is not on the council now, county council, but is very familiar with county government. James Kitchen served as the assistant to the county executive. So tell us about him.
So James Kitchen is endorsed by Stuart Pittman. So that is Pittman's hopeful successor if he gets his way there. Kitchen is one of Pittman's top aide, and he is the only one running on that campaign financing system. So the gist of that is that he can only take small donations from individual donors. And he says that means that he is truly accountable to voters, not any corporations who can give out big donations. He is also heavy on land use, improving traffic, and environmentalism, preserving a lot of green space as well.
And you said this is the first election with public financing. This is similar to what we were talking about earlier in the show with Baltimore County. This is the first time with public financing?
Yes, for the county executive.
And this is he's the only candidate running with it?
Correct.
Okay. On the Republican side, Republicans held this office. Stuart Pittman, like Calvin Ball, defeated an incumbent Republican in 2018 to take the office. And as we were looking earlier, Republicans still doing pretty well in Anne Arundel County. So and in 2022, the county executive race there was closer than it was in Howard County and Baltimore County. Stuart Pittman won re-election with just 53% of the vote. David Crawford right now is the only Republican who has declared that he is going to run for the office. Who is he, and what sorts of things is he running on?
So Dave Crawford is a fire chief at the Early Heights Volunteer Fire Company in Severna Park. That is his big talking point there. He says that shows his community service, that he's one with the people. He is big on cutting red tape for small businesses. He wants faster permitting and loans and grants to help people start small businesses. He is also saying he wants to hold the line on taxes. He wants a lean government and to cut waste. And he is also looking to make it affordable for seniors so they can stay in the county after retirement. As far as his likelihood of winning,
Where does he fit in here? Again, Republicans held this office in the prior decade. What kind of chance does he have, do you think?
So right now, the county council has a 4-3 split, 4 Democrats and 3 Republicans there, and it's predictable districts. Those have been going on, so on. As far as his likelihood of winning here, if you look back to the last Senate election, Larry Hogan actually won Anne Arundel County with 53% of the vote there. So I don't want to rule out a Republican winning there. I'd say Crawford's path to winning relies on, since it's a crowded Democratic field, it would rely on a lot of spending in the primary and the Democrats mm-hmm. not having as much funding there for the general election. That's his path to winning there. And his uphill battle, though, will be name recognition.
So what sorts of issues right now are people beginning to talk about in this race? Not just the candidates, but what sorts of things might people who are voters or people who are showing up that are publicly, you know, going to meetings and things like that, bringing their issues forward? What sorts of things are big right now in Anne Arundel County, and how similar might they be as we talk to what the rest of Maryland's seeing?
Affordable housing is one mm-hmm. of the big things that's coming up. I think everybody agrees that the cost of living is extremely high right now. It's just a debate of where do we build affordable housing, because the county council has been bringing up a lot of bills to try to incentivize affordable housing near highways, near already built up areas, mm-hmm. so it's not encroaching on the rural areas of southern Anne Arundel County. But every time that it comes up, it gets scaled back a little bit. The 3 Republicans on the council have sought to exclude parts of their district from it. So the debate is, how do we make housing more affordable while also preserving the open spaces of the county? That's one of the big things. That's a big talking point in this election.
What are some of the candidates saying about affordable housing? What would they want to do if they end up getting into the office?
I want to highlight for Pete Smith right now. He is currently running a tiny housing bill. So this would create zoning that allows for tiny houses to be built in Anne Arundel County. Like I mentioned, for the mm-hmm. affordable housing aspect of it, it has already gotten scaled back with some amendments, making it less dense, fewer of these tiny homes allowed per acre. He is saying that provisions in this law would cap the price of these. They couldn't be resold for a certain amount of time, and he says that's going to keep these as affordable housing.
I'm WIPR News Director Matt Bush, filling in for Tom Hall here on Midday. I'm speaking with Capital Gazette editor Jacob Baumgart about the Anne Arundel County executive race. If you want to join the conversation, call us 410-662-8780. You can also send us an email to midday@wipr.org. Earlier in the show, particularly we're talking about Howard County, we're talking about the jobs numbers that have come out this month and how many federal government jobs Maryland has lost. It's the most in the United States. Anne Arundel County is not immune from this. What has happened there? How have local officials responded? And how might this play into whom wins the election there in 2026?
That is a good question. There have been a lot of federal jobs lost in Anne Arundel County. A lot of people commute into D.C. On the MARC train there. So people are feeling that issue very prominently in their lives. Some of the people that I know have experienced these layoffs as well. So that is extremely salient in voters' minds. Stuff the county has done. Mm-hmm. They have increased funding for food banks because there have been an increased necessity for people needing food resources. The county has also set aside money to deal with the federal government cuts. So this is a dedicated earmarked fund that the county has said, we're setting aside this money. We're not sure how we're going to need it yet, but we know that federal cuts are going to mean we're going to need to put some money toward resources. So that's something that the county did this year, and it will play into this race because, as always, even though this is a local election, voters tie parties to how they view the mm-hmm. national parties there. So with a lot of voters having lost their federal government jobs there, it will be hard for some people to disassociate Donald Trump Republican Party versus local Republican Party, just keeping the government small and lean and not wasteful.
How much in general, obviously President Trump is not on the ballot this year, but, you know, he's on the ballot in so many cases, even on these local races, as we've talked about in some of the other ones. I mean, how much might the national political picture, outside of just job cuts, impact what voters in Anne Arundel County may do this year?
Absolutely. People are talking about the issues of immigration, especially in Glen Burnie. There was a recent shooting where two people were shot during an ICE operation there. So even though the immigration debate can feel far off in nationals, especially local, especially with this investigation going on right now. So those issues are making their way into the local debate. So whereas the Republican Party can stand for fiscal conservatism, which is what the local candidates are pushing, it is also getting tied to the national party as well.
Are the candidates bringing those sorts of things up so far? In what they're, obviously there's a couple council members there too, and maybe in what they're also trying to push in their office that they hold now.
It is a lot of right now of trying to stay on topic for the county specifically. So far, this has been a pretty clean race. There's not been any ugliness, I would say, so far. It is sticking toward the issues of affordability, of public safety, of schools and small businesses and taxes. So far right now, it is staying on topic. This will just be, do voters buy in to that talk as well, or are they just going to tie it to how they're feeling about the national parties?
Again, we're talking about the Anne Arundel County executive race. Schools, we've talked about them in Baltimore and Howard County, too. Schools take up so much of the budget there. How much are candidates talking about schools, and how much might voters view that as a big issue for them this year?
Yes, schools, all four candidates have schools mentioned among their top priorities. No surprise there. Two people that I want to highlight, Allison Pickard, she was on the school board, so she's going to refer a lot to her time there and how she is one with education. James Kitchen, he was also a high school history and government teacher, and he's married to an elementary school teacher there as well. So both of them are going to bring up their schooling experience. And Dave Crawford, also his wife is a teacher. So everybody's going to try to pull in, here's why I know the most about education, because they, a lot of them do have this experience in education.
So what about other than the ones we talked about, affordability, maybe how the national political picture views this in schools? We've been also discussing on this show, margins in local races can be so thin, in Baltimore County being most famous for that, with 17 votes deciding the primary 8 years ago. So there could be some issues that maybe fly beneath the radar right now that could drive enough pockets of voters to go to the polls that could end up deciding the race. So what sorts of things beneath maybe some of those big ones right now are important in Anne Arundel County? It's, it borders the bay, so there's a whole lot more shorefront property there that would be different from Baltimore and Howard County. It's also home to the state government and all that. So, what are some of the other issues there that maybe are specific to Anne Arundel County that might fly under the radar that may also be something that voters are really, really passionate about that might get them to go to the polls this year?
One of the things that I hear most people complain about is traffic and quality of roads. And sometimes people lose sight of the local government they're tied to the national, the national party. But the local government also is in charge of making sure your roads are safe, your schools are set. So I think traffic is one of the things that people talk about. There's several bottlenecks that come up. For example, on Route 3, that goes through the Gambrels Crofton area heading toward Bowie, that is extremely traffic heavy, especially during rush hour. James Kitchen says he can see Route 3 from his window, and he says that he is trying to figure out how to fix traffic there. That's something County Executive Pittman has looked at. There's also a traffic bottleneck where Route 32 dead ends into 97. Pittman has said that he is working on adding a lane there to relieve some of the traffic. So traffic, even though it's something that takes a long time to fix, it's a lot of studies, people can't stop talking about it. Everybody, when traffic comes up, everybody has a feeling on it that unites people.
And that's something that can drive people to the polls. I mean, what sort of the communities you think might be more, we've also been saying this, what kinds of communities might be impacted by some of those things like traffic that might say, I'm going to vote for this particular person to get to the polls? Again, it can come down to tens or hundreds of people that decide these races. What sorts of communities might be more active this year because they're feeling the pinch of things like traffic or affordable housing?
I think some of the really engaged communities in that would be Annapolis and Odenton, Crownsville area. A lot of these areas along those corridors that I mentioned, that's where a lot of the capital projects, the building projects have been going on recently. That is might drive people to the voters there. Also in North County, Pete Smith and Allison Pickard are both from the North County area. So you're going to kind of see their name recognition competing against each other there, who is going to be able to drive more of their base to the polls on that day.
Jacob Baumgart is the deputy politics editor for the Capital Gazette. He's here talking with us about the Anne Arundel County executive election that is coming up this year. Jacob, thank you so much for coming in and chatting with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
June 23rd is the primary election in Maryland this year. Early voting is going to begin on June 11th, so that is 5 months and 2 days from now. It'll be on us before we know it. So you continue to listen to Midday and to WYPR during our morning edition and All Things Considered to get the latest on the local elections this year, because it's not just a county executive, governor, and every seat of on the other statewide state-level offices like comptroller and attorney general on the ballot this year, and then every seat in the General Assembly, in addition to the county executives and the county councils and the school boards and all that. We're going to be covering that for you here at WYPR with our award-winning news team. But that's it for us today. We'll talk about that a whole lot more as we go through it forward. Coming up on Monday, the future of Baltimore's anti-violence strategy after recent success in the city. What is next? Fresh Air is up next year on WYPR. I'm Matt Bush, filling in for Tom Hall today on Midday. Thank you for listening and have a great weekend.
This is 88.1 WYPR, your local NPR news station.